It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. This is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And the gyms may not be full, but there's definitely no shortage of madness this college basketball season. For us fans, the college basketball powers that be have gifted us with a top matchup between two powerhouses. This weekend, Gonzaga and Baylor will go toe-to-toe for what could be the nation's top ranking. And DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is bringing you closer to the action with this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all college basketball fans who sign up now the chance to win $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win this clash. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. That's right. Bet $1, win $100. Use promo code KSN during sign-up to take advantage of this great offer for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two, which means we welcome in our buddy Ross Tucker for Tucker's Tape. Ross, welcome in. I'm excited to talk to you this week because we get to talk about a win.
You know, isn't it something? I got a big smile on my face, Jim. You get to the point where they're 0-5 and you think you don't care and it doesn't matter if they lose or not. That felt good. That felt good to watch that. And it's interesting because you know this, a lot of times I'll have games while the Penn State game is going on. So I usually go back and watch it on the, what do they call it? Big 10
that
and
one
60.
Hour.
Yeah. Yeah. The Big 10 and 60 or whatever on Big 10 Network. But this week, because of my schedule, Eagles played Monday. I traveled out here to Utah on Tuesday. I knew I wasn't going to be able to watch the Big 10 and 60. So I actually got a chance to watch every snap via the coaching tape, which is kind of cool. I have access to that as a broadcaster for CBS. So I actually watched, you know, the coaching tape, the end zone copy. So gives me a little bit of different perspective, a little bit of different, you know, insight into some of the players and some of the things I saw.
Well, let's take advantage of that insight, Ross. I want to start with the running game, which was so much better this time around. And what's your take on it from the coach's tape? Was the offensive line just that much better? Was it Kevon Lee being your primary running back? Or was it the play calling?
You know, there's a couple different things, Jim. One of which is certainly the O-line is improving. And I thought it was probably their best game of the year. And I think that part of that is just those guys getting comfortable in Kirk Shiraka's offense, those guys getting comfortable, more and more comfortable with Phil Troutwine's scheme. And even just, you know, you've got Fries at right guard most of the time. CJ Thorpe plays a little bit. And just getting comfortable being at right guard and having Caden Wallace next to him at right tackle and those sorts of things. So a lot of it's a comfort level, but you certainly didn't see as much penetration from the Michigan defensive line. The offensive line did a better job of sort of keeping everything at least on the line of scrimmage and letting the running backs get to the line of scrimmage. And then the thing I would say is saw some really good signs from Kevon Lee, both, you know, some of the power he has, and I think he's got a little bit more juice, a little bit more speed than I gave him credit for previously, and he showed some good vision on a couple of runs. And the other thing is, you know, Sean Clifford ran very well, Jim, very well. You know, that was one of the things that jumped out to me is Sean Clifford's legs were a major factor. And I know that Levis is bigger and stronger, and they like Levis in the short yardage runs. I get all that. But I don't know. I think Clifford has a little bit more speed, a little bit more quickness. And I think that showed up in, you know, especially the one really long run he had. But it was a major factor, Clifford's legs were. So those were one of the big things that jumped out to me for sure in terms of the running game. They also, Jim, did a lot of two tight end stuff, you know, with Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson. And by the way, this is all really positive for next year, because it seems like most of the guys I'm talking about a lot, you know, will be able to come back next year. I guess they all can theoretically with the free year, so to speak. But yeah, I thought, you know, getting those two tight ends involved, I thought those guys both did, you know, they're both high school wide receivers. So I thought they both did a pretty good job blocking, considering they're very young, true sophomore, true freshmen who don't have a lot of background in blocking.
Well, I thought it was interesting that their blocking stood out. It's not often the layperson like myself will notice tight ends blocking. I did want to ask you one thing about Clifford's running. It appeared that he was doing less running on the read option, and more often his runs were with quarterback draws. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, and really it's more quarterback power, Jim. But you're right. It's not a read. They were not reads. They were call it and run it plays, where they would actually have a puller in front of them, quarterback power. And it's something that they do with Levis in there a decent amount of times, but they don't typically do it with Clifford. And so it's a gap scheme where everybody on the play side is really responsible for their inside gap. You have a guard that pulls around, leads up in the hole. And when you do it with your quarterback, you have an extra guy that the defense doesn't, unless they have, you know, because they can't account for the quarterback. So it just gives you that one more gap, that one more guy. And he ran that play extremely well in the game.
It would not be a Penn State game unless we talked about clock management at some point. This one was at the end of the first half, Ross. Questionable that they spiked the ball on first down when they had a timeout and 36 seconds left after getting a first down at the 5-yard line. And then their first play was a fade pass, the infamous fade. What did you think of that whole series of downs?
Yep. So, and by the way, one of the things that's interesting is I primarily watch the end zone copy. And so I watch all the offensive snaps. Then I watch all the defensive snaps. So it's a little bit harder to get a full context of the game, right? That's just not how you do it, right? Because the defensive coaches don't watch the offense and vice versa. I will say this, Jim. I'm sure they've done it before. Maybe I just haven't noticed it. Spiking the ball out of the gun is just so weird. And by the way, maybe it's only a second, but it takes more time then, because you got to wait till the quarterback gets the ball before he then spikes it with the shotgun snap. Maybe I just don't pay attention enough, but just watching the coaching tape to see a shotgun snap and then Clifford throw the ball into the ground, just it's awkward. They did not need to spike it there. I would agree with you. They should have called timeout there. I think that they wanted to preserve the ability to be able to run it down there, because if you use your last timeout, you're not really going to be able to run it on those other downs. But I think that's okay. I think they should have called the timeout. And then,
I stop you there for one second, yeah. Ross? What effect is it that the previous play got them the first down, so the clock does stop to move the chains? Shouldn't that have given them enough time to be ready to call a play for first down without using the timeout?
1,000%. So they could either have just called a play. And by the way, they all have automatic plays for situations like that. All of them. Everybody in college football, NFL, they all have a play where they'll say, tuxedo, tuxedo. And that might mean inside zone or zone read or a quick slant or whatever it is, right? So they could have done that and preserved the timeout. Because college football gives you the benefit of the clock stopping on the first down. So 1,000% right. really did not like the play calling. I don't believe that they have hit on a fade in the end zone yet, have they? And they only throw it to their 5'10 receivers. How about putting Theo Johnson or Zach Kuntz, who's like 6'8 out there, for one of these fades?
Exactly. Well, you asked about have they succeeded, and our friend Audrey Snyder from The Athletic, I saw she had a bit there where she said Penn State has called more fade plays inside the red zone than anybody else in college football. They've done it 8 times, and they're 1 for 8. So I don't recall if that was a touchdown completion or not, but it's not very successful.
No, and I do want to point out a couple other guys before we run out of time here.
Sure.
On the positive side, Parker Washington is going to be a stud. I mean, he is really good, and I think he's going to really help them the next few years. He kind of reminds me a lot of Jahan Dotson. You know, it's like he's like a mirror image, a younger Jahan Dotson, maybe a little bit quicker, if anything. And how about, you know, this is a little bit personal for me. How about Isaac Lutz, Jim? With 3 big catches, you know, they've been working all year to find a reliable third receiver. And they've tried freshman scholarship guys. They've tried upperclassmen scholarship guys. Here it is, the walk-on, Isaac Lutz. He gets open. He catches the ball. You know, he might not, quote-unquote, look like that much, Jim. I don't care. I don't care. He's been good on special teams for years. He gets open and he catches the ball. I mean, he had 2 big catches. Like, they don't need the third receiver to be Allen Robinson or KJ Hamler. They just need that guy to be reliable so that they can throw him the ball and he'll catch it when Washington and Dotson get coverage. So, and that was great. I've known Isaac since he was in 10th grade. He's from Reading. Helped him out with recruiting a little bit. I was thrilled for him. That's the positives. On the negative, Lamont Wade, he hurts the team in a myriad of ways. You know, coverage, tackling at times. Yeah, I mean, enough there. And the other thing I would say is I thought Ellis Brooks would do more. Jim, I'm a little bit disappointed in Ellis Brooks watching the coaching tape. You know, and they even have him in there on nickel stuff. I will say, though, that quarterback sneak stuff at the end of the game, that was awesome. That was Penn State pride right there.
It was, and it was nice to see. All right, stick around. Next segment, we're going to do Ask Ross. But before we get started with that, I'm going to get your pick, Ross, for the Penn State Rutgers upcoming game this weekend. Stay tuned.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. That's code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.